This is Jeff Kober, and we welcome you to this Disney Insights podcast. Last week, we spoke about new announcements at Disneyland Paris and their implications for American parks. This last week, news and video has been coming out about the new Fantasy Springs that is beginning to open at Tokyo Disney Sea. Plus news of Disneyland Ford being approved by the Anaheim City Council means that work can commence on a future Disneyland that has many more possibilities than ever before. Add new attractions coming to Walt Disney World, beyond Big Thunder, and elsewhere, and we have one amazing podcast. We'll talk about Tokyo attractions based on Frozen, Peter Pan, Rapunzel, Beauty and the Beast, Space Mountain, Toy Story, Wreck-It Ralph, and more, and how they may impact attractions coming to you based on Cars, Moana, Zootopia, Encanto, Coco, Indiana Jones, Pandora, Marvel, Star Wars, and more. This is a big podcast, so join us as we look at how new Tokyo Disney attractions just may have implications for the American parks. Make sure you check out DisneyInsights.com because we've got a lot of video, we have a lot of links, we have a lot of photos that are going to help you understand, especially if you haven't seen some of these things play out in Tokyo. You may be thinking to yourself, why do I need to think about Tokyo? Believe me, there are things that are happening over there, just like in Paris, that really do suggest what our future may be like here in, whether it's Disneyland or Walt Disney World. So check that out. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast while you're at DisneyInsights.com. And also give us a rating, referral, if possible. Also, make sure that you subscribe to our Facebook page, Disney Insights, and our YouTube page of the same name. All right, let's get going. What is Tokyo Disney Springs? Well, what has put Tokyo Disney on the map this last week or so is the opening of Tokyo Disney Springs. If you haven't seen the beauty of this new land, I suggest Chris Explore's thorough video. I put a link to it at Disney Insights. In essence, Fantasy Springs is an offshoot land whose entrance is located between the Arabian Coast and Lost River Delta in Tokyo Disney Sea. This eighth port is themed to a magical spring leading to a world of fantasy. It consists of three areas: Frozen Kingdom, Rapunzel's Forest, Peter Pan's Neverland, and they're all inspired by Walt Disney Animation Studios films like Frozen, Tangled, and Peter Pan. The biggest land expansion yet at Tokyo Disney Resort. It's home to four new attractions, three quick service dining locations, merchandise shops, and importantly, a new deluxe hotel, the Disney Fantasy Springs. Let me talk a little bit about each of the attractions. The first is Anna and Elsa's Frozen Journey. This has a look and feel similar to the Epcot version, but this is the original Frozen story. This isn't about simply going to a summer house in Arendelle. This is a much bigger production. It's bigger in detail, special effects, and length. And it has animatronics that are really impressive and do not have the projected heads that you see in Epcot. You should also see some of the amazing effects, like Elsa freezing the fountains of Arendelle and watching Anna, who is frozen, unthaw at the end. Keep an eye on her cape when you see this. And again, you can see that in Chris Explore's film, I think, and elsewhere. It really is amazing what they've pulled off. It is very much that spirit of Frozen that you get at Epcot, but it is so much more. The second is Rapunzel's Lantern Festival. This too is a second boat ride, but this one is both outdoors and indoors. It begins passing the actual tower with Rapunzel in it. Rapunzel even singing in it. Very different than the little tower you see over at Magic Kingdom at Fantasyland. This one has a real Rapunzel going. A Flick is nearby, and so is his horse. And from there, you're transported inside where you see the glowing lanterns gleam on Rapunzel's Lantern Festival over in her forest. This gondola journey retells highlights of Disney's animated Tangle. It's not as complete a story, I think, as Frozen, but boy, it gives a real sense. I would say that the Rapunzel's Lantern Festival kind of reminds me of the Little Mermaid attractions at Disney California Adventure and Magic Kingdom. Perhaps a little shorter, but then again, it's also outdoors as well as indoors. Peter Pan's Neverland Adventure. I've been excited most about this because I love Neverland, and it comes to life in this 3D escapade where you join Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, and the Lost Boys as they rescue John from Captain Hook and his band of pirates. This, too, is in a boat, but it's not on water. But hey, who cares if you think you are flying? The difference on this is a very much of a, screen show, so to speak. But they've done a really great job of moving 3D elements, props, and scenery detail in such a way that it doesn't feel so much like a movie. It's very, very cool. The last attraction is Fairy Tinkerbell's Busy Buggies. Kind of hard to say several times in a row. This is a second attraction in the Neverland section, but it's very different from the Peter Pan one. You shrink down to the size of a fairy and you board a busy buggy to help Tinkerbell deliver packages throughout the changing seasons of Pixie Hollow. The attraction is largely outdoors and it is full of details. It's a perfect ride for families who love Tink. And it's an extravagant experience, not too unlike the old Heimlich's choo-choo train in that it's intimate, outdoors, and everything is oversized. However, the comparison ends at that because the details in this are quite extravagant. There are also eateries to include the Royal Banquet Hall of Arendelle, a table service type experience, plus two counter service locations, the Snuggly Duckling and the Lookout Cookout, themed after the Lost Boys of Neverland. In fact, I love the theming of this Lookout Cookout. It looks like it belongs in Typhoon Lagoon. And then, of course, there is merchandise. At the borders of all of this is Disney's Fantasy Springs Resort Hotel, a deluxe experience in and of itself, and one that gets you into Disney Springs first thing in the morning. This is one of two resorts bordering Tokyo Disney Sea, the other being the MiraCosta, which is at the official entrance to the park. They also have another deluxe hotel called the Disneyland Hotel, and it sits toward the entrance, but it does not hug or border the entrance of that park. Fantasy Springs is simply Tokyo Disney Sea's version of Fantasyland in the same way that Tokyo Disney Sea is to Tokyo Disneyland. But instead of a medieval fair setting like in most Fantasylands, you would have a sort of garden forest springs experience. In some ways, Fantasyland Forest at Magic Kingdom was a forerunner to this. But this level of detail goes so much further. This is a theme of the podcast. Many things in the domestic Disney parks have actually been forerunners of what you see in Tokyo Disney and elsewhere internationally. But there are also things happening at Tokyo Disney that may well be a forerunner to parks at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. So let's look at ways that this could be. First, it's not a land, but a land of districts. More than a land, Tokyo Disney Sea's Fantasy Springs incorporates three smaller lands based on Frozen, Tangled, and Peter Pan. The difference is from Tokyo Disney Springs to Tokyo Disneyland is that it's not a one-off rides, restaurants, and shops. It's much more of a cluster of a ride or two, plus a restaurant or two, and a gift shop. Parks such as Disneyland have experimented over the years in zoning in a way that has made that happen. The earliest of this was Pinocchio's Daring Voyage and Pinocchio's Village House, plus Geppetto's Arts and Crafts Shop, and even Stromboli's Wagon when the new Fantasyland was created in Disneyland back in 84. Or, on the other side of that land, Alice in Wonderland, The Dark Ride, Mad Tea Party, and a Mad Hatter shop on the other side. These were clusters of rides, attractions, of shops, food and beverage together. But these are different than what has happened at Fantasy Springs, because Fantasyland at Disneyland also offers many other attractions based on the variety of Disney films, from Snow White to Peter Pan to Casey Jr. Circus Train. This Land of Districts concept, however, has evolved over time and is the best description of Fantasyland Forest and Magic Kingdom. It's not a perfect blend. You have a German cottage with Snow White or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, a French castle with Beauty and the Beast, and a Spanish-Portuguese castle, kind of style castle, all coming together. But you do have water and rocks and especially landscaping trying to put it all together. It's not a very big area compared to Fantasy Springs, but it does have rides, gift shops, and eateries. Moreover, you still have the rest of Fantasyland, which is a different design and utilization of intellectual properties. But it is this Fantasyland Forest that probably has inspired this idea of a Fantasy Springs at Tokyo Disney Sea, apart from Fantasyland in Tokyo Disneyland, which, anyway, still, it's a very different option than an entire Toy Story Land or a Star Wars Galaxy's Edge or even a Zootopia at Shanghai. Speaking of Zootopia, that intellectual property is coming as a replacement to It's Tough to Be a Bug at Disney's Animal Kingdom, but the land itself is high on the list of possible replacements that could fill neatly the area that currently accompanies the Animation Courtyard at Disney's Hollywood Studios to behind Sunset Ranch Market all the way to Rockin' Roller Coaster. Again, this is more of a completed land than a land of themed districts. Could this area of Disney's Hollywood Studios become a land of districts? Probably not. It will probably have one land like Toy Story Land or Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Maybe it's Zootopia. Maybe it's Monsters Incorporated. Both have been speculated. Maybe it's Incredibles. But it probably won't be all three together because they really are different settings that don't have a connecting thread. Still, a better example of a land with districts is the Tropical Americas possibility for Disney's Animal Kingdom. Indiana Jones, Encanto, and Coco are close enough that they can be tied together, in this case, with landscaping. Here we see three possible attractions, one for each of the themes. We see Chester and Hester's being rebuilt into a gift shop. We see Restaurantosaurus carrying out a Coco Mexican food theme. It's not perfect, but it has huge potential. So look for experimenting more with not just a land, but two or three districts of intellectual property pulled together thematically within a land. That's the first thing to consider, is this utilization of IPs into districts of a land. The second is beyond the berm. The next consideration from Tokyo Disney Springs is about going beyond the berm. To make all this happen at Tokyo Disney Sea, one had to go out of the berm, so to speak. The lands of Tokyo Disney Sea, these lands like Mediterranean Harbor, Port Discovery, Arabian Coast, they all have sea names to them. And they all bordered a common body of water that was flowing throughout the park. The Fantasy Springs location and its accompanying hotel moves into a former parking lot and goes outside of what has traditionally been Tokyo Disney Sea. It suggests the parks don't always have to follow the symmetrical designs as was laid out for Tokyo Disney Sea. It's suggesting that corners and dead ends might be okay. Well, that's important because there are beyond the berm possibilities at Disneyland Resort. With the Disneyland Ford project being approved, it suggests that Disneyland and Disney California could be pushed out way past Disney Way or beyond the berm, so to speak, which Disney would be given control of. Like the Tokyo Disney Sea Fantasy Springs Hotel, a hotel can be a premium when attached to a park. This has implications to venerable hotels like the Disneyland Hotel and the newly remodeled Pixar Place Hotel. It's why Disney's Grand California, beyond its beautiful architecture, works so well, because it's right next to Disney California Adventure. Could you have direct access into a park extension of Disneyland that comes right up to the Disneyland Hotel or Pixar Place Hotel? Could the Pixar Place Hotel be a better value if Pixar Pier continued its theme across the street right up to the hotel? So you see that just like Fantasy Springs, Disney's thinking of going way beyond the berm. Will people go out to those ends of the park? That's really important, because one of those connecting places to go beyond the berm would be Critter Country. And Critter Country, which was Bear Country, which was the Indian Village before that, was always a dead end. I wouldn't say it's a dead end now, because it attaches itself to the other side of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And in fact, its attachment has almost made it a freeway coming through there. But notwithstanding, could there be traffic that then moves through Critter Springs, across a bridge, and over into land that's beyond Disney Way, it toward the Toy Story Pixar parking area? There are also beyond the berm possibilities of Magic Kingdom. Oh, we've been talking about that. Beyond Big Thunder Mountain is a beyond the berm possibility that has been blue-skied for some time now. And the rumors, they keep coming. With Coco and Encanto having representation in Disney's Animal Kingdom, other themes could be coming to this region of the park. We already have a Toy Story Land, but one rumor is centered around a Sheriff Woody theme. That would be frontier-like. It would play on a particular section that was originally to be part of Toy Story Land, but ended up becoming the Roundup Rodeo Barbecue. Nobody's quite certain what was behind the Western Clapboard section of this park. Maybe it was just a different kind of facade for Roundup Rodeo Barbecue. We're not quite sure. And by the way, you could take a look at a graphic I have in DisneyInsights.com that show you. Look in the lower right, and you'll see this little frontier section with an Al's Barn across the way for merchandise, which, honestly, they should have kept. A more interesting concept for Beyond Big Thunder would be one that centers around Radiator Springs Racers. That rumor comes with or without Radiator Springs itself, something I would not like, because I think that the charm of that attraction, Disney California Adventure, is the community of Radiator Springs itself. Still, it could have a canyon desert look comparable to Big Thunder. So one can imagine some way that playing out, even if time periods and IPs are fairly different. What is probably the most definite for Beyond Big Thunder is a Villains Land that would emerge around the Haunted Mansion. That has all sorts of possibilities and can evolve from one end to the other. In fact, think of this as possibly being a land with three districts within the Villains Land. It could start out Victorian style in keeping with the Haunted Mansion, add a dining experience there, and potentially move to a frontier or desert style by the time you get to Big Thunder. Could be a mountain in the middle. Any number of things could happen, but it could all ultimately kind of be Beyond Big Thunder could actually be a place with districts, like we talked about earlier. Okay, well, we're short on, let's just say I am okay with all of this as long as none of this has carnival-style rides like Toy Story Land. But I do see that there are big possibilities beyond Big Thunder Mountain. Any of these possibilities could involve shortening the Rivers of America, which has always been longer than the original Disneyland Rivers of America. So shortening could easily occur because they did so when they created Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland. That was placed beyond the Rivers of America, and the retheming of this region of the river has made those on the Mark Twain or the Columbia or the Davy Crockett canoes or even from the Disneyland Railroad have an experience that has been so much better. It really looks very cool. So I actually welcome some TLC being given to the Rivers of America as part of this, as long as it continues to be that, a river with access for the Liberty Bell. We also talked about a new possible theme to Tom Sawyer's Island. And know that the year-long upcoming closure of Big Thunder Mountain, probably intended for rail replacement, could easily involve creating new paths for what eventually might become beyond Big Thunder. Let's talk about one more rumor that technically would be out of the berm as well. There is one rumor that the Moana boat ride once suggested for Disney's Animal Kingdom could be coming to the backside of Adventureland. Add to the fact that the boat could be an omnimover boat similar to Pirates of the Caribbean Battle for Sunken Treasure. To have a big Adventureland attraction like this would be better in many ways. I think even more than Beyond Big Thunder. Though again, the villains concept works. Moana has been playing well on Disney Plus, and it is receiving an animated sequel and a live action version over the next couple of years. This, I think, really needs to be a possibility. Adventureland's my favorite land at Magic Kingdom. I could see this transform and make it even better. Heading back over to the Disneyland Resort, it's thought that that same Omnimover boat I mentioned that's been used for Shanghai Pirates could also be utilized for the river ride planned for Pandora World of Avatar. This also will likely become more of a Beyond the Berm concept. There are other happenings at Tokyo Disney Resort that are quite interesting and might give us a suggestion of things to come or of things to refresh and renew. Imagine that the hotels of Hotel Plaza near Disney Springs, you know, the ones out there beyond the Hilton and the so forth, imagine that they were around the Seven Seas Lagoon and were connected by monorail to the Magic Kingdom. That's essentially what exists at Tokyo Disney Resort. Some are well-known hotels like the Hilton and Sheraton. Others are lesser-known names unless you are part of the Japanese community. One of those hotels was taken over by the Oriental Land Company, which owns Tokyo Disney, and made into a fascinating Toy Story hotel. Now, I stayed at the Shanghai Toy Story Hotel, and it didn't work for me, by and large. This one has possibilities, and by the way, we have a hotel that is close to a Toy Story Playland and to a theme park that didn't seem to work out. The Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is no more, but the land and building is still there. Is it possible that these rooms could be redone with the Toy Story theme? They're very small rooms, comparably, but they're unique, and their location could have some sort of fun access to Toy Story Land that is fairly nearby. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in this space. Over in Tomorrowland at Tokyo Disneyland, Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters is going away. It's being replaced by a new Wreck-It Ralph attraction that will also be an interactive dark ride, this time set in the world of the candy-themed racing game Sugar Rush. Sugar bugs, created by King Candy, are on the attack, and riders will work with Ralph and Vanellope to transform the sugar bugs back to their original kawaii form, Japanese term, as confectionery such as cookies and cakes. So you get to zap bugs into cookies and cakes. I don't think that our Buzz Lightyear attractions at Disneyland and Magic Kingdom are going away, although the one in Magic Kingdom could use a lot more TLC. But Wreck-It Ralph style attraction would be great. And while our Tomorrowland is still looking for a replacement to the old Stitch encounter, what is really needed is a new anchor to the old Wonders of Life building at Epcot. World Discovery needs something attached to the internet, though taking some of the new technologies for walking in place with holotiles that Imagineering has developed and adding an Apple Vision Pro component would be a very interesting way to do wonders of life in an IT kind of form. Note that Apple Vision is going to feature the Marvel What If series on Apple Vision Pro. In short, sponsored by Apple or Wreck-It Ralph, it would be great to have something going into the old Wonders of Life building right next to the new Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind attraction. Tokyo Disney is also doing something in Tomorrowland that has not really quite been done before. It is replacing Space Mountain, not with new rails or a thematic approach, but with a whole new building. My guess is that they are using ride technology more like Guardians of the Galaxy that I just mentioned. In essence, it's not too unlike how it's choosing to reapproach Neverland at Fantasy Springs. Not that it's removing the venerable Peter Pan's flight at this time, but it has certainly created a Neverland unlike anything in the States. This is a very unusual thing because they're literally leveling the old Space Mountain after they build the new one. It's a fascinating thing, and Space Mountain at Tokyo Disney asks us the question, which of the most venerable attractions could be completely redone? With that, let me just say, for those of you who are asking the question, well, what about a Frozen, a Neverland, or Tangled-like land coming to the U.S., similar to what's at Tokyo Disney Springs? Well, maybe. I wouldn't write this out, but not the way you think. Let's consider Disneyland first. Frozen's already represented in Norway at Epcot, but it's a leading possibility at Disneyland. People think it could take over the Fantasyland Theater and or take over the region formerly known as the Motorboat Ride. This is a complicated area given that monorails pass through and no one knows what to do with the old People Mover track. Also, the Autopia has to be rerouted, but never say never. If the park were to continue across Disneyland Way to the area by the Pixar parking lot structure, there would also be enough space to possibly do all three of these districts, if they continued across the way. At the Magic Kingdom, Tangled and Peter Pan share the same geographic space. A Tangled restaurant stands somewhat across from the queue of Peter Pan's flight. Both have limitations and seem very unimpressive compared to what's going on at Fantasy Springs in Tokyo Disney Sea. What would be more interesting is to take the Tomorrowland Speedway at Magic Kingdom, take it out and do something there. That's what happened at Tokyo Disneyland. They took nearly the same Tomorrowland Speedway course and they put in a land for Beauty and the Beast with food, beverage, gift shops, a big theater for shows, and an amazing attraction. Beauty and the Beast has already got a presence in three places across Walt Disney World, including the Magic Kingdom. But could something Tangled go here, or something Peter Pan-like go there? Absolutely. A ride, retail, food and beverage, and perhaps even a theater, which might have Peter Pan or Tangled look on one side and a Tomorrowland look on the other. That would be really great, as that really creates occupancy. If it were Tangled, I would take the Tangled restrooms then on the other side of Fantasyland and redo them into something more Peter Pan-like or Harbor-like, which might be something to mesh in a new way, in a different way with the Columbia Harbor House. If Peter Pan took up the Speedway, I would consider redoing the Peter Pan ride with a very modest Tangled attraction. Again, maybe even taking the Columbia Harbor House and using that as part of the attraction. I hate to lose the Columbia Harbor House, but remember, the Haunted Mansion, if you were to build a Villain's Land, might have its own restaurant to go with it. By the way, if you get a chance to really look at the Peter Pan vehicle at Fantasy Springs, not the Tinkerbell vehicle, but the one used to find John in this new attraction, you should know that this is the same vehicle that may be the answer to the King Thanos Dark Ride for Marvel. That is intended for Paris, for Disneyland, and for Hong Kong Disneyland. It's comparable in many ways to the Spider-Man vehicle at Islands of the Adventure, in that you have the sides kind of brought up so that your view is very limited and directed to the visual screens that are being shown to you. Going back to Peter Pan, I've often remarked that Disneyland Paris brilliantly paired next to each other, utilizing two different lands, Pirates of the Caribbean Adventureland and Peter Pan's Flight in Fantasyland. Moreover, parts of Pinocchio's Village House there, in front of Peter Pan's, has a nautical theme to it, kind of monstro theme. And across from Pirates, we have Adventure Isle, which includes Captain Cook's pirate ship, along with Treasure Island references and a Swiss Family Treehouse. It's the ultimate celebration of pirates. I think these are the kinds of concepts we could be playing here as we think about how maybe Peter Pan or how Tangled could be utilized in the Magic Kingdom. Now, many of you are going to be asked, how come we don't get nice things like they get at Tokyo Disney? I often refer to this as Tokyo Perfect. It's easy to go to the Tokyo Resort and see some amazing things like Winnie the Pooh's Honey Hunt or Mysterious Island. Even their country bears perform smoother and their Soarin' queue is better. When we see this, it's easy to think that everything is Tokyo Perfect there. Still, just a gentle reminder, we have some amazing places. At Walt Disney World, Pandora, World of Avatar, Kilimanjaro Safaris, Expedition Everest, Spaceship Earth, iconic Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, Star Wars Galaxy Edge, and more are all examples of some really great spaces. Walt Disney World has many more resorts than any park in the world, plus water parks, golf, and so much more. It truly still is an amazing place in its own right. Disneyland, meanwhile, is the original with a Matterhorn, Radiator Springs, Avengers Campus, Finding Nemo submarines, and time-proven smaller attractions like Mr. Toad and Alice in Wonderland, which may never be replicated anywhere else. People walk through Tokyo Disney's Fantasy Springs and see amazing rock work themed to Disney characters. But that wouldn't be there if someone hadn't set an incredible precedent of carving real animals into the side of the Tree of Life. In truth, we inspire things that come to Tokyo, and I hope that things at Tokyo serve as inspiration for things that need to come here. What we do get in the immediate future is an impressive, seemingly impressive e-ticket ride called Tiana's Bayou Adventure. This is an interesting attraction. I was worried that they're going to go cheap in many ways, especially on audio animatronics, but they have replaced the very old animatronics, many of which, especially at Disneyland, were from America Sings, and added brand new ones. And they look amazing. That precedent was probably put in place when Beast and Belle came to life in their Beauty and the Beast dark ride at Tokyo Disneyland. When you see that, you couldn't do a projection kind of thing at Tiana's. And now it seems that that quality of animatronic is coming to Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Plus, they seem to be a lot of work on lighting it up at night, and in the same way that Pandora utilizes projection lighting at night, plus special effects, music, and more. Tiana's Bayou Adventure, frankly, has to be Tokyo Perfect. So as to prove that Disney can put that quality into their American parks and that there will be a return in customer loyalty, that will change the financial models for more things that are Tokyo Perfect if they can see guests clamoring for an attraction that was done really well. It's interesting, because there was a time Disney never talked about what was going on over at Tokyo Disney Resort. They have been very open this last year about this addition, and others like Shanghai's Zootopia and Hong Kong's Frozen. I think the animatronics will sooner than later be replaced at Epcot by animatronics once we see the ones at Tiana's. I think you'll see a change at Frozen in Epcot. But moreover, I think this is setting the stage for elevating the Disneyland and Walt Disney World experience. Maybe not Tokyo perfect, but definitely Disney best. Thanks for joining us for this Disney Insights podcast. I appreciate your being involved. Hey, check out my site. There's lots of bookstores such as A Century of Powerful Disney Insights. If you're looking for something truly different, join the Wayfinder group, which has interactive experiences, plus podcasts and other things you expect from a Patreon group. But let me tell you, for a little investment, you get to get things you can't get on any other Patreon site. So check it out. We want you to experience all things Disney, and we look forward to bringing that to you. Thanks again for joining us, returning to Tokyo DisneySea. Always remember to follow the compass of your heart. Have a great day. We'll see you real soon.